Some folks, they work at night, sleep right through the day. Some got to work it, oh, they get to dream their lives away. I said, sleeper, close your eyes and blow down the street. Sleep, sleeper, don't you know life's just sweet dream, sweet dream. Say, put your worries on the bed, go back to sleeper, sleepy head. What too much be going on? I get no sleep sometimes. Feels like I'm losing control. I'm losing sleep, that's why. Say, if you wound too tight, you got to make yourself unwind. I said, sleeper, close your eyes and blow down the street. Sleep, sleeper, don't you know life's just sweet, sweet dream. Say, put your worries on bed, go back to sleeper, sleepy head. All right.
Leaning against a building.
Oh my.
Criminalized setting up a political table 14 feet from a building. No one will be able to perform on the other side of this sidewalk. No one will be able to set up a political table on the other side of this sidewalk. The Santa Cruz City Council will make it so that everyone is crammed into small spaces, producing more conflict and more tension downtown. And more protest, I can assure you of that.
Well, I have a question about that. I'm not 18. Okay. But there is a, I might be out of town, there's one on the 23rd. Is there going to be another one?
There'll be a series of protests about this, starting on Sunday at 2 o'clock in 2 days. The city council is telling us it's going to be illegal to sit on the sidewalk 14 feet from a building, 14 feet from a telephone, 14 feet from a crosswalk, 14 feet from a bench. What does that leave for people to sit down? Not much space. It not only will be illegal for a poor person to sit down on the sidewalk, you can't even bring your own chair and sit down at a table like this. That will become illegal. A week from July 23rd, that is going to happen. And I say the Santa Cruz community cannot permit this to happen. This is wrong. That man will not be able to legally do what he's doing, playing the piano. Actually, it's illegal right now what he's doing. You cannot set up a piano or an instrument in front of a sidewalk cafe. But certain people can, because the police look the other way.
Where do you want to put this?
Wherever you'd like. Lean it against the table or against a display somewhere. Sign our petition.
And where the hell is the petition? Can somebody leave the petition down?
No.
One time Cosmic, Chris and I were playing,
yeah.
The shopkeeper came out and said,
right,
I was okay to play.
No, it's not. There's supposed to be a petition right here.
Not
on that.
Sorry, say again.
The guy said it was okay for me to play, but it wasn't okay for Chris to play.
So here we have
Oswald.
This is a musician who
Oswald with the most expensive dinner in town.
This is a musician who tells us that police, and we know this, are cracking down. Are the merchants coming out of their businesses and saying, hey, police officers, don't harass poor people on the streets. We're all part of a community here. No, they come out and they want harsher laws. They want laws to make it even worse, to give the police even more power downtown. This is wrong. July 23rd, City Council, 7 o'clock, or possibly come back on Sunday when some of us are going to try to figure out just where these forbidden zones are going to be, where it is illegal to sit, where it is illegal to set up a political table. That's going to be most of the sidewalk, and not just downtown, but also in every commercial district in Santa Cruz. This is going to be the case. Sign our petition, folks. We need a copy of the...
Hi, this is Harmony Rafon.
I'm Erica.
And hi. You're from where, Erica?
Arcata.
And I'm Christine Schultz from Las Gatas.
Okay, and we're talking about the downtown laws that are trying to be passed right now, the new ordinances, and how this is being mimicked in other cities. So what's happening in Arcata right now?
Well, Arcata has a little different feel. The downtown area is centered around a plaza.
Okay.
And the big thing that the problem with dogs, and I know that here they've outlawed dogs downtown. They're trying to do the same thing in Arcata. They've outlawed dogs on the plaza.
Mm-hmm.
And so every other Friday, people, what's awesome is that people that live in the community that have a business established there participated also bring their dogs onto the plaza, which is illegal. And it causes a little bit of a problem because the police don't know what to do with all of these people sitting on the plaza. It's completely illegal to be doing that. They're also trying to get no sitting on the street, no panhandling. And fortunately in Arcata, it's been met with a lot of resistance. People aren't privy, it's just a few people, and I'm assuming that it's mostly larger business owners in this area that...
Actually, no, this business right here, Jackson Shoes, was one of the first, the lady, Candy Jackson, was one of the first to bring up a merchant statement that is asking for this, and then I believe 5 other businesses went through with it. So it's actually, it's just like a merchant-run thing, and the city council just kind of let the ball start going.
Wow. Well, I think just an example that you may want to take from Arcata is that the movement was started with mostly the homeless, but other people in the community, and they just did a really good job of leafleting, letting people know how crazy, exactly what you're doing now. And the key, though, was getting other local businesses that didn't agree with the proposed ordinances, and also the people that actually had been living in Arcata for years, because this is a college town. You know, it's mostly people that come up to go to school and then leave.
Yeah, same with here, yeah.
And unfortunately, it was a lot of those students that were I don't want people sitting in front of businesses when I'm trying to walk downtown or, right. And so it took the actual people living in the community, which I think is what it's going to take here. And I think that's definitely possible.
Okay.
People move to Santa Cruz with the expectation of a busy street life, you know?
Yeah, that's been stated a lot at the city council, that a lot of people come here for the street performers and to see different kinds of stuff going on. So it's not just a consumer culture. It's,
right.
It's a very mixed. Right.
I can tell you, my friends and I come to Santa Cruz and we hate downtown Los Gatos because Santa Cruz has culture, because there's interesting people to meet here, and all there is in Los Gatos is stupid designer clothing and stupid made up faces. You know.
Right.
And that gets boring real quick, but here it's always changing and always alive. And I've been coming here since I was 16 and I could drive over 17, you know?
Yeah.
Well, and
yeah.
Christ, it's there's many more problems in the world right now, you know? Just on a larger scale, the things that this nation is doing, to be concerned with people sitting on benches or having their dogs downtown. And I think that that's really important also, to let people know, yeah, maybe you have to walk past a small group of people with maybe 2 dogs in Saudi Arabia or Iraq. Your children are dying by the thousands each week. So where?
What's more important?
Yeah, exactly. And that is something in Arcata that we did talk about also at the city council meetings. It was why are we discussing this now?
Did they rush this? Did the city council in Arcata rush the proposal or the ordinances as well?
They tried. There was a thing where you had about 5 minutes, you know, to present an argument, but people just kept going over, and it's just being defiant and demanding that your civil rights be respected in city council meetings and on the street.
Yeah, it sounds like there's a lot of similarity between here and what you're talking about.
Absolutely.
Especially the mentioning of the civil rights and the ordinances that are being passed. So it seems like it's not just Santa Cruz, but it's actually turning into a nationwide problem in most cities. And I think there's a lack of people recognizing where are people going to go.
Right. And the beautiful thing about Arcata was that it didn't go through. That
I'll be going there back there at the end of the summer, and there will be people sitting on the street with their dogs, you know. So I think that the same thing will happen in Santa Cruz. It's just unfortunate that our time has to be wasted on like earning the right to do what you're allowed to do, which is hang out and play music and be beautiful.
Well, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Yeah.
I really appreciate it.
Have a great afternoon.
Hey, Doug.
Yeah.
Just before you leave, why don't we just sit up right now?
And you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. And we're listening to, of course, as we have even before this show came on, which is going to run for 3.5 hours for all you folks who want to grab some popcorn and run out and take a bathroom break. Stories about the downtown ordinances and the major concerns about these new anti-homeless laws, also impacting street performers and political tablers that passed City Council on the evening, early in the morning of Thursday, the 24th, and they go into effect a month later, and they will be implemented, according to City Council, about 20 or 30 days after that. We're going to be talking about them, and I think more important, though, we're going to be talking about the ongoing police crackdown and the criminalization of poor people that's generally now intensifying as police go after homeless camps and so forth. An interesting musical sidelight we're going to move into now is, well, a beautiful song written by Phil Oakes some 25 or 30 years ago, which describes what's happening in Santa Cruz. It's very kind of prescient. Randy Sue Winchell, who's one of the Camp Paradise Three, one of the defendants who will be appealing the decision against Camp Paradise last November, that there's no necessity for homeless people to sleep or camp, or at least not to camp. She also has been trying to get donations for flowers on Pacific Avenue. She was repeatedly harassed by police, given a whole series of conflicting rules, and finally driven off the avenue. Here's a little testimony to her, or testimonial to her.
Answers back, but nobody
trees buying flowers from the flower lady. Soldiers disillusioned to come home from the war. Sarcastic students tell them not to fight no more. Black is black, white is white. Walk away both knowing they are right. But nobody's buying flowers from the flower lady. Smoke dreams of escaping souls are drifting by. Tears in the quicksand of their mind, they disappear. Still nobody's buying flowers from the flower lady. Feeble, aged people almost to their knees. Complain about
Oaks, Flower Lady, from Chords of Fame, probably the first album of his I ever heard. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. I'm Robert Norris. This is, of course, Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides. Not in my bathrobe today. It's a little chilly out there, but it's still illegal to sleep in Santa Cruz if you're homeless. $54 fine if you are caught sleeping or covering up with blankets after 11 o'clock at night. If you set up an encampment and have the intention to remain overnight any time of the night or day, that is another $54 fine. And, of course, police harassment, confiscation of property, verbal abuse, all the stuff that the merchants don't like their customers getting, homeless people are subject to 24 hours a day. But we don't see any movement in the city council to deal with those issues, do we? That's because we are the ones that need to put together that movement. And hopefully the latest overreaching by the city council, the merchants, and the police may awaken people once more to the realities that are really going down, namely the ongoing police crackdown, not just downtown, where the merchants, I suppose, feel they have some claim to good behavior, better behavior, or shopping-friendly environments, which is really the agenda, but also happening in other parts of town where the merchants don't even get to, where the police patrol. They go through the old Camp Paradise zone, ticketing, harassing, and at least I've heard in the Poganip, destroying tents and confiscating property. It's a pretty serious situation for those people who are trying to survive outside. In Santa Cruz, I remind you, there is space for less than 50 people each night in the Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program, always full, according to Mandy, the woman who covers the that situation at the Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program's Homeless Resource Center program. We're not making it up. It's true, and it's something the council just studiously, repeatedly, vigorously ignores. They've refused to push on staff reports to look for alternate space. They are, of course, refusing to deal with the human rights abuses that police are acting on at their instructions under the sleeping ban and the camping ban. Instead, they're passing new laws against the homeless, and that's who these laws are directed against. Don't believe what you hear reading the Sentinel. It's not true. Of course, I don't have to tell you, most of you out there are listening to this station, that's the case. But these laws mostly affect poor people outside, and of course, they also go after street musicians and political tables. And of course, Keith Sugar and Chris Crone have some gentle words for those folks, and Tim Fitzmaurice and Ed Porter are reassuring you that, oh, just wait till we come back in September, and we'll deal with those issues. There's going to be no enforcement anyway for 50 days. And I suppose I should briefly talk about that, if it hasn't already been addressed. There's a very good article. It's both posted on the internet at www.santacruz.indymedia.org, at the Santa Cruz Indie Media site, and also in the new Alarm, which just came out yesterday. That's the Alarm that has the Nueva Vista in Beach Flats story, which isn't such a good story. But inside, there's some very extensive coverage by Far Meese and various others of the anti-homeless downtown ordinances that were passed on Thursday morning very early for their final reading and will go into effect in 30 days, be implemented probably within 50. And, of course, we have to begin the protest before that in the most, however we want to do it, it needs to be done. And Downtown for All, one of the organizations working on that I work with, is meeting tomorrow at Wired Wash Cafe at 1 p.m. for folks who want to show up there for a meeting. Check it out. We're working on two projects. One is the Boycott Bigotry Project, actually not quite properly named. It has to do actually with commending human rights supporters, and that is one where we are dividing up all the businesses downtown, presenting them with decals that they're invited to post either in their windows or in a public place in their store somewhere, indicating that they are a supporter of human rights locally, which means that they oppose the downtown ordinances. Or, if they wish, to support some other statement of how they feel about the downtown ordinances. If they feel that it's not a human rights violation, maybe they can explain just how that works. I haven't been able to understand it yet. If you make it illegal for people to sit down 14 feet from any store, business, crosswalk, it's actually store, business, drinking fountain, telephone. You can't sit on the sidewalk, and then those items, minus the drinking fountain and telephone, but plus benches, crosswalks, street corners for setting up tables or asking peacefully for spare change or indicating that you want spare change with a sign or a cup. So there's all kinds of restrictions on where homeless people can comfortably be in public space in order to assure the potential comfort of tourists who are zipping to and from, tourists and shoppers going to and from the sacred stores of Santa Cruz that have given us these ordinances through the staff and the police. And that's, of course, the other thing that hasn't been discussed much, which is the fact that these ordinances apparently were written several months ago, that Ed Porter has been working on them for a long time in private, in secret, with his staff, without bringing them to the public, and not a word was mentioned about these ordinances in terms of the particulars that he was planning to put forward at the downtown City Council downtown issues meetings, where he had rushed through two meetings in 6 days to be followed by 4 council meetings in 2 weeks, which is unprecedented for the speed. Of course, it didn't give us time to mobilize, as Arcata apparently did, and I'd like to find out more about Arcata. Hopefully I will by the next show. I'm hoping to look into that. I'll get some interviews with folks up there and find out how they did send those ordinances back, as they did in Olympia, Washington, as they did in Portland, Oregon, and apparently as they did in Santa Barbara, California, different kind of ordinances having to do with criminalizing people in recreational vehicles, but again, directed against homeless people. Apparently one of the keys, as was mentioned by the speaker, is coalitions with sympathetic merchants and old-time residents. And that's something we have to do. We haven't really done it yet. It's just sort of general outrage. But again, this broke upon us so quickly. It actually was sort of the third strike. You know, the first strike was attacks on campers. Second strike was police crackdowns downtown on musicians and other folks downtown. And the third is this set of ordinances, like a 1-2-3 punch. And there hasn't been time to actually sit down and get together on these issues. And, of course, we need to do that. And you heard at the last show, I had Steve Argue on my show, who also has his own program from 8 to 10 on Saturday mornings, for those of you who are interested in listening. He also recommends a good show by the Green Party, which apparently has a show on Friday night. I don't see it on the program list. Maybe some knowledgeable Green can call in and tell me about that. In fact, we're hoping to get an update from City Council candidate Thomas Levitt, who's running later in the show. Thomas, if you're hearing us, please give us a call and let us know what's cooking, both with the radio performance of Green Party and where they can be reached and heard, and also how your campaign is doing. So, yeah, there hasn't been time to use the Arcata Olympia Portland solutions of banding together with merchants who are sympathetic, though there are some who are, apparently. Those are listed in the Mamre Manifesto on the website. Was it www.frazadelic.com, if I'm not mistaken? Checking out the website now. Yeah, frazadelic.com. And there are some folks who are taking different roads or just organizing separately around this issue, and I have respect for folks who organize separately. Sometimes personality differences develop, sometimes differences of policy and procedure and all that sort of thing. And I encourage everyone who's working on this issue to keep working, try to communicate and stay in touch with each other. We need to fight back against these ordinances and not to get entangled in any, the old factional disputes which can drag us down. It's really important now that we focus on the real target, which is restoring open public space downtown and restoring human rights to everyone, including poor and homeless people, political tablers, street musicians. As I said, Crone and Sugar didn't have a word to say about homeless people and how their rights were being taken away. Their objections were to the street musicians and to the political tablers and to abstract considerations of the First Amendment. And I'm sorry, that's really pretty pathetic, considering that all kinds of other jurisdictions, all kinds of other cities, as I've mentioned, when they fought these ordinances, as Berkeley did, when they overturned them in 1997, at least the sitting ban, they acknowledged and recognized it is homeless people, it is poor people that these ordinances affect. It's the folks who haven't got the money to go buy the cafe lattes in the cafes. It's the folks who need to use the public spaces downtown, and not just downtown. These ordinances impact all commercial districts, and the soliciting ordinance, which means putting up a sign that says, need money, need help, or indicating you want help non-verbally with a cup, or an open guitar case, or a donation can on a political table. These are restricted all over town, and the 14-foot limits essentially bars them from sidewalks all over the place that are not downtown, and it also bars it everywhere after dark. You can't do it after dark. You can't do it in a group of two. Don't try to have a second person tabling with you next to a donation can. That's illegal, or it will be after the ordinances go into effect. Now, of course, the City Council will rush back with its divide and conquer modifications in September, when they're going to try to say, no, we're going to help those street performers and we're going to help those political tablers. It's just, you know, the abusive bad behavior people. But of course, nothing in these ordinances has any reference to bad behavior. Playing hacky sack is not bad behavior. If it were, it would be barred in a park as well. It is bad behavior when you, obviously, when you hit someone or when you accidentally bump into them, certainly. But to call any of these ordinances regulations of bad behavior is simply the kind of lie that the Sentinel and the Mercury News have been putting out, and the Sentinel editorials, and the City Council, Ed Porter and Emily Riley, not to mention Scott Kennedy and Mark Premack, as well as Keith Sugar, who goes on and on about the bad behavior problem downtown. You know, I would like to hear from people out there whether there has been an increase in bad behavior over the last few years. Now, I know the janitor who often calls the show believes that's the case, and there are obviously people who do believe that there is an increase in bad behavior, but these were, to some extent, the same people that were ranting about bad behavior back in 1994, or concerned about bad behavior back in 1994. And I guess I'm a little resentful because whereas some of us get our little 2 minutes at City Council after the supporters of these ordinances have gotten their 3 minutes at City Council and have gotten their hours behind the scenes with council members and staff members to cook up ordinances that pass without a comma being changed, without a word being altered, indicating a complete obliviousness to public input, and a determination in 2 weeks to ram through ordinances when they can't even in 2 years deal with basic human rights considerations for homeless people that actually might address lots of homeless folks downtown, if that's one of the concerns of the merchants. If homeless people had places to go during the day and at night that were safe and legal in terms of setting up camps, they could go there. Now, I've never done a study of 1994-95, particularly in the fall of 95, when there was a permanent encampment at the Coral Street Open Air Shelter, which is now a community house behind the Homeless Resource Center at Highway 1 and Highway 9. But, I'm frankly willing to wager that there were less homeless people downtown because they had places to go. They could have places to keep their dogs during the day. They had places to store their stuff. They had places where other people safe watch their property, whereas now their property will be, as it has been, of course, recently by police in the crackdown, but now legally can be seized, not if it blocks the sidewalk, but if it's left unattended. Doesn't have to be any kind of hazard to traffic or blockage or knowingly left for a substantial or unreasonable amount of time had previously been the case. This is so blatantly directed against a class of people. And hypocrisy is so thick, the stench is so strong, that it's really hard to control yourself, at least for me, at City Council. Folks may remember that I couldn't take it anymore. I went off to the side, wrote down two signs, because I felt that numerous statements were being made by City Council members that were either A, false, or B, bigoted. And I wrote, "This is bullshit," on one sign, and I wrote, "This is bigotry," on another. And when, Emily Riley would say, "We've really given this a lot of time," I would hold up that "this is bullshit" sign. And when Ed Porter would say something like, "We need a way of dealing with these people," I would hold up a "this is bigotry" sign. Of course, shortly thereafter, Emily Riley demanded that I take the signs to the back, that I was distracting her. And I decided it was another one of those cases where, hell no, I won't go, meaning, if they want to do a bust, they better do a bust. If we allow the City Council to repress signs not only on the avenue, but that City Council itself, we are really in difficult shape, in bad condition. And I wasn't going to allow that to happen. And Kennedy, realizing, I think, that Crone was suddenly being put on the spot and was likely to make an ill-advised arrest, again, under pressure from people like Fitzmaurice and Riley, he foresaw, I think accurately, that this one would not be overturned by the courts as the last, as my previous case was temporarily overturned. I think it's temporarily because it's going to, I think, come back. It's being appealed. When I raised my arm briefly in a "you're a bunch of fascists" salute to the City Council, a silent salute back in March, that this simply holding up a sign silently off to the side blocking no one is not the basis for any kind of appropriate ejection from the City Council. In fact, that's really kind of misdemeanor behavior on the part of the City Council, false arrest, you might say, making a false police report and that sort of thing. So Kennedy stepped in and said, "Let him stand with his signs." He tried to lighten the situation, and Crone backed off. Crone, of course, is not the main engine behind this, but he's the good little boy, the good little errand boy who does all the dirty work of these more repressive figures on the city council. And that's the really sad thing. He does, you know, when the vote came down, he voted against every single one of these ordinances. But as I said, he had nothing clear, positive, or revealing to say about the real impact of these ordinances on homeless people. And this is the guy who gave us the bathroom task force that produced no bathrooms, who has been, you know, working for, gave us the homeless issues task force, where the city council voted on none of its recommendations in terms of implementing them. He has linguine for a spine is the problem, as I've said many a time. And yet others tell me, well, he's the best of a bad bunch. I talked to a reporter and said, aren't you going to support him for the city council when he runs again? He's better than anybody else there. And the answer, of course, is when things are so bad that he is simply doing the bidding of the rest of the city council, then you can't support that. It's just you've got to look to some other quarter, look in some other direction. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. Our phone number is 427-3772. Opportunity to call in, 427-3772. And we'll be right back.
Thank you.
more Phil Oakes from Chords of Fame. Again, we're at 96.3 FM. And hey, want to reach us? Give us a call, 427-3772. Phone lines are open. And actually, we're hoping to hear from a student mom who's had some real problems with the university. We've talked to her before. That's Vicki Olthoff, and we'll see if she's up for a call. Tried to reach her, and I'm trying to reach her a little bit late. She's going to be dashing off to church pretty quick. We don't just have atheists calling in on this show. Again, the big controversy of the moment, of course, is the downtown ordinances that passed and that are getting some play. As I said, if you want the straight dope, go to The Alarm, which is available for 50 cents from those black news boxes that are everywhere in town. Hopefully there'll be some free alarms around, too, soon. I guess a week later they usually start putting out a lot of free alarms. And or to www.santacruz.indymedia.org, which is the indie media site, and the same articles, I think, are placed there. I haven't actually read them. I'm assuming they're the same ones. You can also try to get in touch with HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, 423-4833, 423-HUF, H-U-F-F. And to get some more information, we are resuming our weekly meetings at the infamous Baker's Square restaurant, where we've been meeting for the last year or two, at 8:30 in the morning on Wednesday morning at 1107 Ocean Street. Baker's Square is a pie and restaurant shop across from, I guess it's the Beach City Gas and Marianne's Ice Cream, and it's not hard to find. Check us out, 8:30 in the morning. You can't afford the coffee, we'll kick in for it. We talk about not just things like the downtown ordinances, but all kinds of other concerns around civil rights of poor people. We've gotten into rent control, fought the use of affordable housing money to essentially ram through the Dolphin Lee, now called the Nueva Vista Project. So stick with us there. And Monday at 1 p.m., there's a special meeting of Downtown for All at the Wired Wash Cafe. And the Wired Wash Cafe, of course, is right next to the Saturn on Laurel Street between Pacific and Front. So not hard to find. 1 o'clock Monday, Downtown for All is working on two projects. The mentioned before, the Boycott Bigotry Project, or the Commend Human Rights Project, where we give out things for merchants to place in their window. We're going to be probably doing that early next week, as well as the Downtown Decency Detail, also known as DAM, Downtown Assistance to Merchant Newbies, where we're going to be assisting their police and hosts with citizen arrests of tourists and other overlooked, overdressed, and perhaps, well, shoppers and tourists who are violating downtown ordinances. And there's a provision of the penal code that allows citizens to make arrests, which doesn't mean you rush in with a baton and start beating people up or whip out the handcuffs. It just means that you take a picture of that person engaging in criminal behavior, like sitting down near a store. Perhaps their child is playing on a monument or something. And then you ask an officer, you direct an officer to write a ticket, not based on his or her judgment that the ticket is appropriate, but on your judgment. And you are the one whose name gets mentioned on the ticket. And since the violation of the code section is explicit, there's no doubt that there's probable cause for you to have that ticket issued. That's the way of letting the merchants know that we are on their team, making sure that these laws are fairly and fully, very, very fully enforced. And yesterday we began a sort of a mock ticketing. I should say Friday we began a mock ticketing to see how that went. A bunch of us, we set up our shop in front of the downtown hosts and began a little walking around. And traffic was rather sparse on Friday. We didn't actually make any citizen arrests because we want to make sure that we have a flyer ready to give out to tourists to explain that we are simply acting on behalf of the Santa Cruz City Council and the Downtown Association of Merchants, who apparently certainly didn't object to these laws. City Council passed them, the Downtown Association, though it didn't officially speak in favor of them, as far as I know, they certainly didn't oppose them. And therefore, one must assume silence gives consent, or perhaps one mustn't assume it, but I'm certainly assuming that myself. I think it's a reasonable assumption. So that's happening on the 1st, Monday, I should say at 1 o'clock on Monday, I guess that is. It's not the 1st, it's tomorrow, so it would be the 29th at the Wired Wash Cafe. You know, we are really being kind of dragged away from the real focus, which a lot of us were working on, which I think we have to continue to work on, which is police abuse. Because these ordinances, coming out of the police department, as they probably do, I mean, I haven't gotten the final exact word, but Belcher was the staff person called to give all the opinions at the city council meeting, and the indications were it was the redevelopment agency and the police department when Ed Porter spoke to Sherry Connable and then later to me at the last city council meeting about where these ordinances actually came from. It's police abuse. Will now be ratified into law by some of the new laws. For instance, CSO Malate, an older community service officer who may no longer be on the force, I haven't seen him around much, used to delight in, or at least repeatedly give, citations, tickets, and warnings, or citations and warnings, to older people sitting down with signs who didn't say anything but just sat there, you know, need money to do such and such. And he would say, you can't do that. You have to stand up and hold your sign. Now, he was not telling these people the truth, because you are allowed to, signs at the moment, until this new ordinance is going into effect, are exempted from the soliciting requirements, which do, in fact, require you, idiotically enough, to stand up and solicit. So you're not allowed to say from a seated position, hey, man, got any spare change? That's illegal. It's currently illegal, by the way, and it'll continue to be illegal under the new soliciting law. But you could have a sign that said, got any spare change? Or, you know, visions of a hamburger? Or whatever. Not anymore. Thanks to the Porter-Riley rules, which were ratified 5-2 at City Council, the coming in 50 days, 30 days actually, in terms of the actual wording of the law, but 50 days according to the city manager and the City Council direction, you will be vulnerable for a ticket if you have a sign and you're it's sitting near you, or you're holding it in a seated position, or if you're holding it in after dark, either standing up or sitting down, or if you have another person next to you. You got to do it alone, see? It's to make the atmosphere as hostile as possible for people who are seeking money or any kind of food or things of value, for the poor people out there. You might say, oh, no, no, they're just trying to make it more comfortable for the tourists and less threatening. Well, as I said in 1994, I don't think any of us objects to regulations that, few of us would object to regulations that criminalize abusive panhandling, or following a person, or being obscene or angry with them if they refuse to give money. But to have ordinances that simply make it more difficult for people to do these things, even in a peaceful way, is both a violation of the First Amendment and a mean-spirited approach, and also tends to involve a kind of a form of fundamental denial, which I think is sort of socially unhealthy. But all this has been talked about before, and hopefully we'll begin to now do something about it, and that's the real issue. So let's see if that can happen. I'm going to try to get through on the phone to see how we're doing here to one of the guests that was going to be either calling in or available. And I'm not sure if that's going to be possible because she may be out and elsewhere. But we are getting a ring. Let's see how this goes.
No, it looks like we are out of luck. So we'll have to catch Vicky at another time.
Hi. Your call is being recorded.
And we'll leave her a message on the air. Assuming. Hey there, Vicky. This is Free Radio Santa Cruz and Robert calling in. It's about 10:50. Looks like we missed you. Your phone was busy, but do get back to us if you can. Catch us before the show ends at 1:30. We're at 427-3772. Thanks.
So that leaves more phone line time for anyone else who wants to call in. And while I'm waiting for you, a couple of updates. The chalker criminal, Nathaniel Kennedy, you may remember the feisty little guy with the flag T-shirt, who has gone to jail at least once for chalking about a month ago, called the show in distress when police were harassing him and giving him tickets for chalking in front of Borders, actually has retreated to, of all places, the Dominican Hospital psych ward. He wasn't taken there. He decided he would go there for refuge. Could be a good homeless shelter with regular meals for folks who wish to approach things from that perspective. He is there right now. He can actually be reached by phone today on the psych ward if you want to get in touch with him and find out what's going on. He felt he had some concerns about his safety because of his program of outspoken criticism of President Bush. I'm not going to comment on the merits of his concerns there, but I want to pass on a message from him that he's got a new project. He's working on a tandem bicycle service, which would run on tips. That is, bicycles built for two. He wants to provide essentially a way of getting drunks from the downtown area back to where they need to go by bicycle as a sort of a service. And who knows, maybe a service for donation. And he's kind of interested in that. And if you want to help him with that or you're interested in that, you might listen in for at the next show, or you might try to call him at his new office at Dominican Hospital at 476-9928. He's looking for people who love to act, people who love politics, tandem bicycles, and video cameras. And he's calling his thing the Mad Mothers Against Drunk Driving Task Force. Though I don't know if he's got any mad mothers involved or even any sane mothers, so I just thought I would pass that one on. Also got an email from Wiley Drake in Southern California. Wiley is a pastor at the First Southern Baptist Church of Buena Park, California, which is a suburb of Los Angeles. You may remember 7 or 8 years ago, Wiley was convicted of housing homeless people in his church, and he still does that. I think he's got 100 or more homeless people in his church now, in violation of a quarter that only allows him 50. But the courts know better than to mess with him on this. But he was quite outspoken on the issue. He's been on the air. He also has been defending the rights of homeless people in terms of harassment against the police. I should say harassment by the police against the homeless, who apparently don't have too much patience with homeless people in Buena Park. Anyway, I got an email from him this morning that reads, on June 24th, a civil lawsuit was filed and served on both Wiley Drake and his church. Pastor Drake filed the answer for himself as well as the church. The California State Superior Court said they would receive the pastor's filing, but that the church or Pastor Drake could not answer for the suit against the church. Since the 51-year-old Baptist Church is a state-registered nonprofit corporation, it must have an attorney file and represent the church, although in essence, they're denying him a right to file in pro per. And the issue involved, he's concerned, of course, about his right to represent himself, which I agree with. Whether you're a poor person or a church, you should be allowed to represent yourself. It's getting more and more attorney top-heavy. But hopefully, maybe at some point later in this show, we can hear from him. I've requested he give me a call and let me know just what he's being hassled for this time, whether it's homeless people jaywalking near his building and he's being accused of conspiracy to encourage jaywalking or whatever. Wiley also has a radio show, and when he tried to broadcast a homeless discussions from the courthouse corridors about a homeless case, he was barred from the building, even though he wasn't disturbing anyone. They just didn't like the idea of his being so close, so near on the scene, and making the public aware of what was going on from the courthouse moment by moment. He stands up for those kinds of issues, and indeed, I think it's really important that somebody do that. He's the man in this case. We also have some interviews, which I'm always I've got interviews aplenty. So let's listen to what's happening on the streets.
A lot, I guess. So, cover officer. They just got a guy over here on the street, a homeless person. Obviously, he's been they all of a sudden came up, put handcuffs on him, said he was under arrest. His girlfriend's falling down the street, crying, very upset. Just drove him off.
Where was this?
Right up here, right in front of Borders.
And how long ago?
Like 5 minutes ago.
And he was arrested for sale of marijuana?
Sales of something. That's all I know. The cop said he was under arrest for sales to an undercover cop. That's
check it out.
Huh?
We'll check it out. Your name is?
The Reverend Dr. Electronic Galaxy Che.
Senor Che, thank you very much.
Okay.
All right.
Hopkins, you have a report. What's the story?
Yeah, they just arrested this guy. I don't know what the exact situation is, but they arrested him, and they took all the stuff, and they left the girl out here, the young girl, and she's right down the street here crying her tail off, you know.
Oh, really?
And it's just really, really sad to listen to this girl crying. But anyway, she's right down there on the corner somewhere with another. Yeah, see those two girls crossing across there?
Right.
The one on the right-hand
I'm
side
not
is really
chase
young.
Down.
Yeah.
That guy. So you saw Sergeant Baker arrest a woman for marijuana, not necessarily medical.
It was the cruelest thing I've ever seen anyone do, the way he took pleasure in it and it pretended like he was doing his job
Thank
for
you.
Something trivial. It was hard to see.
Here.
And they were paying for those people's salaries. And
these are the folks that are snitching and informing on them, too. Downtown Hospitality. Happened, madam. You saw this arrest happen?
Well, apparently, the kid sold to an undercover.
Like, what, five kilos of marijuana?
Probably an eighth of an ounce or something, or maybe not even that.
And
it was just this kid, I guess. I don't know him.
A major drug dealer down here selling an eighth of an ounce of marijuana. We've got to do something about that, and I'm glad our police officers are hard at work smashing the marijuana crime here in Santa Cruz. Then what they did?
She was sitting there next to the back. They came and just like grabbed her boyfriend, and she was sitting there, and the cop asked who the bags belonged to, and she said, of course, that she was watching him for a friend. And he took both of the backpacks.
He took them even though she said she was watching him for a friend?
Yes.
Officer, that was Sergeant Baker, the pudgy fellow with the shorts?
Kind of looks like the guy from The Simpsons.
I don't know. I'm not a Simpsons viewer.
Not from The Simpsons?
Yeah.
Was that Baker? Okay. That was him.
And did he say anything as he took her stuff?
Actually, it was the most silent arrest ever. He just walked away. He said, trunk, trunk. Like, open, say, talking to the other officer, open the trunk, threw the bags in, and then he left.
Sergeant Baker steals more homeless property downtown, folks.
All right.
And the girl said, was screaming at him, don't take everything I have.
And Sergeant Baker said?
Nothing at all.
He was simply trying to do his job, or perhaps do the merchant's job on these folks. All right, we're talking with
Jordan Beck.
And you're a man who has this to say about the new no hacky sacking rule.
I say it's a little bit weird. I don't understand it at all. These people are just trying to have fun on the streets of Santa Cruz. It doesn't get in the way. People can just walk around or walk right through the game. They don't even get mad. So I'm leaving. I'm moving to San Luis Obispo in 2 days. See you guys later.
Driving out a good hacky sacker. What's your opinion, sir?
I don't really like it either. Just because hacky sacking's not really that bad. And
what about frisbee playing? Isn't that a menace?
Yeah.
Juggling, perhaps?
Yeah,
blowing?
Any of that kind of stuff, I think you should be able to do. That's what I come down here for most of the time, is just to walk around and see everyone having fun. So I don't really like it either.
You've got to spend more money while you're down here. I mean, isn't that the point?
Oh, yeah. That's a big point.
Lower your prices.
Thank you.
All
right. Thank you, guys. Yeah. Anything you want to say?
Yeah, that's the dumb rule. No hacky sacking.
Thank you.
Balance the myth.
We're talking to an accordion man. How would you describe yourself, sir?
Flamboyant.
And you are, in fact, you have a number of dummy accordion players or dummy surfers or a companion.
Props.
Yes, and how is the accordion playing going?
Fun. I'm having a lot of fun doing it.
And you haven't gone to jail yet, even though you have been using your accordion.
I've been using the accordion for 6 years. They haven't taken me away to jail yet.
Accordion go to jail apparently does not apply to you.
It might happen depending on what happens downtown.
Your name again is?
Morgani.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Visual labor saw one. Here's a man with a sign in front of O'Neill's. Hello, I'm disabled, homeless. Why? A victim of two major car wrecks and a fall from a 10-foot roof. Unfortunately, I'm trying to live with severe back pains, pinched nerves, down both legs, spasms, cramps, massive stress, pains you can't see, feel, or feel, thank God. I'm unable to hold a job because of the pain and stress. I feel deprivation, despair, desperate, tired, unhappy, homeless, etc. So the next time contempt is in your heart for me, smile, and I'll try to smile back. Help. It may just help. Have you been hassled by police for this sign yet?
Nope, not yet.
Has anybody given you any money, sir?
Very little. I'm not asking for money.
What are you looking for?
I'm just trying to let people know, quit giving me dirty, stinking looks, you bastards. I'm tired of your crud looks at me. I got a reason for being here, and if you don't like it, too damn bad.
Gotcha, Steve. Thank you very much. You were actually in the paper on this issue, and it has been put forward. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and fight for your rights, or they're going to take them away from you minute by minute, like the drug test. We're just going to drug test the pilot. Oh, no, we're just going to drug test the bus driver. Oh, no, we're just going to drug test the dishwasher. That's what they're doing with your rights. Watch out.
Students who are taking extracurricular activities get drug tested. We just learned there was a second bust of criminal marijuana dealing on the streets of Santa Cruz. Thank God they're clearing out these grass dealers, making way for, shall we say, stronger stuff. At the Elm Street Mission. And was it with a marked $20 bill, I understand?
Yep.
Wow.
You betcha.
This is a second bust. When did this happen?
About an hour ago.
And we're talking about a $20 marijuana deal.
Yep. $20 worth of pot. Doesn't bother nobody, doesn't faze nobody, but they're still being dicks about it. I'll be saying straight, they're dicks.
You're quite correct.
Cops are dicks.
We like to think of themselves as Dick Tracy's.
And that's some of what's happening downtown in Santa Cruz. Perhaps you can tell me more of what's happening in Santa Cruz. It's 427-3772 if you'd like to call in. 427-FRSC, Free Radio Santa Cruz. Town is still reeling from the super fast passage of the anti-homeless Riley Porter ordinances, which received essentially no public interactive input whatsoever, other than in terms of public meetings. Looks like we have a call coming in, and let's see what that's all about.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, Robert. It's me, Shane.
Uh-huh.
I'm listening to your show, and I'm getting very angry the more I listen to it, because it's reminding me of the harassment I've been suffering from the police for simply helping homeless people. The Sheriff's Department has a website that you can log into, and they have a complaint forum. I sent an email to the Sheriff's Department about busting, harassing people on methadone in the morning.
Can you talk a little bit about that, Shane? I know that you're familiar with that situation, right?
Yeah, very familiar. We leave our house every morning, and we go to get my medication, and we see the sheriff hidden around 50 feet from the front driveway looking for people to bust, and they do.
Now, where is this? Where does all this happen?
Right in front of M-Line, the Triad building.
Mm-hmm.
Right down there, where people go to get medication in the morning, who are very sick, by the way, very tired, and in a lot of pain.
Mm-hmm.
I sent an email displeased about this, and guess what the sheriff did? Guess how they responded?
Tell me.
They went and yanked the person's ISP that I sent the email on, plus pulled the Tenants' Rights Union of Santa Cruz's website down, and destroyed all of her email and all of the data to all of the tenants that were in there.
You mean they associated you with Trust, Tenants' Rights Union
of
Santa Cruz?
That's right.
Why would they do that?
I have no idea. I don't know. Because I sent the email over the Cruises Network. But still, they had no right to punish her for something I did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they did. They destroyed Tenants' Rights Union. No one can get to the website now. It's all gone. And all I did was send a displeasing letter. And at most, I called him a pig. At best, you know?
Now, did you talk to the individual who runs the Cruisers website and get his or her perspective on why that website was...
All I was told was that the sheriff came in and said something to him about it, and that's all they'll say.
You mean he actually acknowledges? Who's the individual who you spoke to?
I spoke to Ross. He's the guy who works there. He's one of the guys who works there at Cruisers.
And Ross actually said... when did you speak to him?
Yesterday.
About what time?
Day before yesterday, I'm sorry. It would be when I found out I was offline, which would be about 10 o'clock in the morning.
And so you called him to find out, and what exactly did he tell you?
All he would say was the sheriff came in with the email you sent, and that was it. He said that's all I can tell you about it, because the actual owner and him talked. So, and we're working on that now as far as to get to the bottom of that, but I know for a fact that when I called there as a technician, they were kind of upset the fact that we were getting, or that it was a nonprofit thing, and they weren't paying for it anyway, because it was a free thing. So they felt that it was okay to treat her like crap because she wasn't paying for it anyway.
She being Donna Dice, the head of Tenants' Rights Union of Santa Cruz, Trusk.
That's right.
Now, people can still reach Trusk, can they not, by calling the telephone number for Trusk?
Yeah, the main phone number, the home phone.
And what is that number?
It's 426-0644.
426-0644 for the Tenants' Rights Union of Santa Cruz.
Correct.
And how is the Tenants' Rights Union going?
Well, we've already had like three people call saying, "Hey, where'd the website go?" You know, that was like a vital part of the whole functionality of the Tenants' Rights Union, because we were on the cruiser's domain, which means that everybody's emails was stored on their domain as well as all their data, pertaining to their files, if any. So and there was no warning about this at all. We were just suddenly unplugged offline. That was it. Boom. No warning. And I was also threatened when I called into the sheriff to ask about it and ask him what happened to my free speech rights. He says that you don't have any, and he said that I will have you charged with aiding and abetting if you get on the air or start any kind of crap about it.
About
what they did, going into cruisers.
You mean aiding and abetting public information about sheriff's abuse?
That's what I want to know. Mm. But he did threaten me. He threatened me twice, and you know, I'm just tired of the harassment that these cops think they can do.
Oh, what was the name of the officer or the deputy who threatened you? If you know it.
I do know it. It's written down. Well, Donna, do you remember his name? It's a weird pronunciation of Tone or some. I can't remember it offhand because.
What you should do is leave it on the Huff line when you get it.
I got one more thing to say about Santa Cruz Police.
Sure, please.
We were driving one morning, we were leaving our house, as usual, to go to Emmeline, and I saw a homeless friend of mine that I know very well, who doesn't ever hurt anybody, who never harasses anybody, very polite man, had just gotten through with a harassment situation with, like, 2-on-1, and he was crossing the street, and I said, "Hey, buddy, you okay? You need any help? They harass you too bad? You know, I was going to offer him a buck or something, you know, make him feel better." And the cop overheard it all the way across the street, stopped what she was doing, ran over to the truck, slammed her hand on it, and demanded Donna to stop her truck and not move it. Okay? And then she stuck her head in the window on Donna's side and yelled at me 4 times, "Do you got a problem, sir?" And she forced me into a confrontation with her. I told her 4 times, very politely in the beginning, "I'm not talking to you." And she forced me into a confrontation with her and threatened to take the truck apart piece by piece. And I, because it was a free speech thing. I said, "Well, I have freedom of speech. I can ask anything I want." She goes, "Well, here's my freedom of speech. I'm going to take your truck apart piece by piece if you ever do that again."
Now, who is this woman, do you know?
This was a long, blonde dyke cop. She was a lesbian. Everyone knows she's a lesbian. I don't remember her name. Again, I'm bad with names. But most people seem to recognize her right at the bat line to give her a description. She's a heavy set, short, very angry, long, blonde-haired cop.
Was she in dark blue or light blue?
Dark blue, I believe. Well, sort of strawberry blonde.
And when did this happen?
When did this happen? Last week? Last week. Just a few days ago.
About what time?
It was like 7 a.m.
And where did it happen?
At the end of our street. At the end of our street on, what is our street? Franklin Street.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every time we go out, we see him harassing more and more people every day, and it's really playing on my nerves because it's like Russian roulette out there, you know. And the sheriffs really were hanging out in front of Triad busting people, looking for people to bust.
Now, how long have you been a client of Triad?
4 years.
And is this an upsurge or is this a continuing policy?
It started out with the police department hiding behind the bushes, looking for people to bust, where they'd follow them into the flats and then harass them, asking them for a methadone picture ID card to prove they're on methadone. Which, by the way, is not offered in Santa Cruz County, and they know that. So they use that against you. They ask you for it. If you can't produce it, they give you a ticket or search you and bust you under the pretenses that you're under the influence of a narcotic.
And have you been ticketed yourself for that?
I've been harassed. I've been searched. Not ticketed, but I've been searched and detained.
And has this happened a lot recently, more than, let's say, a year or two ago?
Yes, definitely.
And when did this upsurge begin?
I started seeing sheriffs like 6 months ago start getting involved. Start doing the whole Triad thing. It went from the Santa Cruz Police then to the sheriffs, and it's just like they're there every other day. And there's a treaty. We're supposed to have a treaty that it's supposed to be a place of recovery, and people should feel free to come there, not worry about cops. There's supposed to be an agreement between the department and Triad not to do that, not to harass people going to get their treatment. You know, people go there for counseling. They go there for all kinds of reasons, not just methadone.
Have you considered circulating a petition to find out who has been harassed and then to...
I'll do whatever it takes. I'm willing to do whatever it takes. I'll put up websites. I'll send emails. I don't care. I'm ready to go because I'm tired of this stuff. I'm tired of it.
Now
I'm dying of AIDS. I'll admit that. You know, I'm terminally ill, and you know, I do not need to be like putting up with cops, giving me a show of force or threatening me every time I try to, you know, ask legal questions within my community. You know, being concerned in my community. You know, and if they don't want people complaining, they shouldn't have a website up there. You know, that takes complaints. If they don't want people sending them emails.
Do you have a copy of your complaint?
Of the email? I did, but they wiped out all the data. It was on cruises. They pulled the whole domain out.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't just pull our ISP. They pulled everything.
And you're looking for an attorney to assist you in this matter?
Yeah, we are looking for an attorney right now to assist us in this matter. I have a witness. I have some witnesses. We have a pretty good file going here. And I've always been, you know, kept Donna by my side every day for almost the past year, actually. And so she's witnessed everything that I'm going to be talking about.
And you're carrying a tape recorder around with you, I hope.
Yes, we are.
Mm-hmm.
And a digital camera.
Mm-hmm. That's always a wise precaution.
Yeah.
Now, your number for Trust, Tenants' Rights, Union of Santa Cruz, if folks want to, say, offer another website possibility or some other assistance,
ISP.
Again, is 426-0644.
Yeah.
426-0644. And we're talking to...
Shane Maxfield.
Hey, Shane. Anything more you want to add?
I guess for now, that'll do it. Just plan to hear more from me because I'm going to be writing a whole bunch of stuff, and when I get it all documented and in order, there's going to be more to come out. So.
I mean, you might put up a notice at near the triad that asks people who've had these problems to get together with you as a group at a meeting and then just
that's a good idea.
You know, proceed
fantastic.
That way.
That is a fantastic idea, and I know the staff would back that up because they're just as concerned as I am. I've talked to them about it.
You also might contact the Alarm newspaper, which is this new weekly, which has an interest in alternative subjects and also police misconduct. And I believe the number for the Alarm, which is, for those who are interested, the number for the Alarm is 429-NEWS, N-E-W-S, which is 6397, 429-6397.
I don't understand what the sheriffs were thinking they were going to accomplish because it's not too hard. I mean, I build computers for a living. That's what I do. And it's not too hard for people like me to get back online. You know, it really isn't. So I don't know what they were trying to do by pulling the plug.
Well, they apparently tried to send you a message that it's they don't want complaints, or maybe this fellow is simply reacting to maybe there's a bigger story that it's not being fully discussed in terms of maybe have you had some prior conflict with this person anyway or
no, as I know of. I mean, you know, there's things that, like, I would like to call in at some point and discuss probation. They're doing things to hurt people, too, intentionally. They're intentionally keeping evidence from the judge. I mean, I could tell you a story right now that would blow your mind. I did 10 days in jail for nothing because they got me for absconding for probation, and I had a computer record that I'd never even left town. I go to try it every day to get my methadone. That's proof that I'm here every day, and it's recorded in a computer. You know, my counselor tried to get this information from probation, a doctor... And it's not hard to get messages to me. You know, anybody knows that they can leave me a message to try it, and I'll get it, you know. But my probation officer never even once lifted a finger to do her job. And because of that, I got put in jail for 10 days for absconding from probation, and I never even left town. And what happened was, like, she just withheld all the evidence from the judge. And I had a signed sworn statement from my therapist saying that I was in 100% compliance, and I haven't done any, you know, I'm doing good, you know. And there was no reason for this to happen. But, you know, they want people in jail, obviously. They want people in jail, even people who are dying of AIDS. And that's when I became full-blown was when I got put in jail because I caught an infection while I was in there. And, and so that's another thing that was taken from me, you know. I mean, I'm really upset about this because they're hurting people, you know, and they don't care, you know. So, and I'm going to be looking for an attorney for that, too, because I can prove that they did that. I can prove that they intentionally knew what the truth was when I got locked up. And I can prove that the judge also knew that I had mental disabilities when they got up and said that I was lying. They said I lied. They said I made it up. They tried to pull it off as if I made it up, you know. But I got proof that I have you know, certain things going on with me, you know, that they messed up. They should have checked it out, you know. But because they screwed up and didn't, you know, just treat me like some transient, you know, homeless person, which they did, you know, now they broke a bunch of laws and broke, you know, ruined my civil rights. And, you know, now I wake up in the middle of the night, like, shaking every night and with nightmares about going to jail.
You should go to... document this with a psychiatrist or a doctor that you see regularly, you know, for your own medical conditions, so that you can sue at some point, or somebody else can sue on your behalf or on behalf of your estate if you're no longer around.
Yeah, I would definitely like to do something because it needs to stop. Because that was one of four people in jail for the same reason, for that same probation officer giving the same story. Oh, I thought you were in some hotel somewhere. I didn't know how to get a hold of you.
Name of the probation officer is
Janet Kennedy.
Janet Kennedy.
Yeah, and she tells people like she'll see you on the street and she'll go, oh, I'm gonna go ahead and sign you in, and then she'll bust you for not signing in. You know, she does all kinds of undercut things to get you to mess up. It's wrong. It's really wrong. Mm-hmm. Especially people who are sick with AIDS. I really think that should stop.
Now, are people other folks with AIDS who might be interested in joining a support group that would bring these concerns forward?
I have been so beat down by the system that I don't even really have many friends out there. I'm trying to reach out now and contact people. I've been so shut down that I haven't even been able to articulate a story. You know, I mean, thank God for my honey Donna, because she's really done worlds for me. She's really got me back into shape. She's got me my health back. You know, she's done wonders for me. So I love her very much for that, and
mm-hmm.
I owe her for that. So.
Well, maybe again, I think I suggested this to you, and I'd love to see a written chronology of how all this came down. Maybe that will be coming down the pike fairly soon in the next week or two. And can people reach you if they want to provide information or share stories or
sure.
offer support?
I have an email address.
What is that?
It's maxtech28@yahoo.com.
And one more time, M-A-X.
M-A-X-T-E-K.
Mm-hmm.
28.
At Hotmail?
At yahoo.com.
And do you want people to call you at the Tenants' Rights Union in Santa Cruz number? Or
we're taking calls, but we're really... Donna's really stressed out right now, so we're just trying to do the best we can. So we're, we don't have the website to take the load off now and stuff, and she's doing it on her own pretty much, so it's really hard.
So you need volunteers?
We do. We are looking for actually young college students who might even be interested in taking it over, I think.
426-0644.
That's right.
That's the Tenants' Rights Union of Santa Cruz, 426-0644. For all you college students,
all you
Zombie Collective folks, come give a call.
Thank you.
And I appreciate that this is really quite a stress on you, Shane, to give a call in like this. And also, you're risking, you're on probation, right?
Well, I was supposed to be on probation last year, but on this scouting from probation thing, they actually gave me another year. And I never even left town.
So you are actually risking a probation violation by, some sort of retaliation by authorities by making this phone call to the station here.
Yeah, but you know what, though? I'm very ill. I'm dying of AIDS. I'm just sick in bed all the time. What are they going to really stick me with? I mean, think about it. In the end, they're going to get sued so hard because I can prove that I'm a harmless person who basically, lays in bed, most of the time, unless I'm helping somebody build a computer or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not a threat to anybody. I don't hurt people in this community.
Well, you may be a threat to officers in the police or deputies in the sheriff's office and probation officers who are perhaps out of line.
I hope so, because they need to be put in their place, and they need to stop thinking that they can go, bullying people around, arresting people's mothers and stuff like that. I mean, that officer thought that Donna was my mom, so stopping people that you don't, it's insane. It's really insane, I mean, we were just leaving our house in the morning, and I just simply asked some guy, I could have been a school kid concerned about homeless people that had done an essay on homeless people the day before. With a whole new awareness on homeless people, and had just asked him if he was okay, and I would have gotten the same crap, And I think that's really wrong. It's really getting too far. These cops are going way too far.
I appreciate your calling in, and feel free to come, as I invite others to come to the Downtown for All meeting at, I guess it's at 1 o'clock tomorrow at the Wired Wash Cafe.
Cool.
Hey, thank you for calling in, and feel free to call in again.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Wow. I didn't expect that call, and I'm pleased that it came in. It's Shane is a first-time caller, I believe, to Free Radio. I haven't heard him call before, and I did speak to him off-air on this issue, and he was, as you can hear, very upset, and yet willing to share his experiences with us. If you had similar problems with the sheriff's office or illegitimate busts around the methadone clinic or hassles with the probation department, feel free to talk about them on Free Radio. Feel free to talk about them here, 427-3772. And also feel free to talk about them, perhaps more importantly, with each other. If you're afraid to go public or you want to first get a sense of what's going on with other people, how much support you have, you might want to give a call to Shane and Donna at 426-0644. Also, if you're interested in tenants' rights, TRUSC, the Tenants' Rights Union of Santa Cruz, has been around Santa Cruz for more than 5 years, 6 years, I don't know how many years, and now suddenly their website is gone, but they still have a phone number. It sounds like they need some real help in getting back to where they were, at least. 426-0644, give them a call if you want to help them out. You can also give us a call and let us know what your concerns are. 427-3772, the on-air number of Free Radio Santa Cruz, or you can call off-air on the Huff line, the Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom line, 423-HUFF, 423-H-U-F-F, 423-4833. So, phone lines are open if you want to give a call. It's interesting, the number of petition signatures we gathered against at least asking that the downtown ordinance discussion be delayed until September, where people could have real input, that they could consider some real changes, whether they're changes of law or changes of policy or new groups or codes of conduct that would actually try to address the real concerns of those who feel unsafe downtown. We put in, I guess, about 550, 600 signatures to the city council. That number was never mentioned by the city clerk, although they were faxed the day that the final reading happened. I guess it was the Tuesday afternoon, and then they were finally voted in Wednesday evening, early Thursday morning. But I don't recall the city clerk ever mentioning that material came in. And when she did mention the original signatures, where I guess we faxed about 80 of them some weeks ago, she didn't mention what the petition was about, or that it was against the downtown ordinances, clearly. In essence, what you're getting is a very skewed kind of presentation for the public. Some people have the inside track to the police department, to the city council members, to the redevelopment agency. They are the ones that are putting in place these repressive laws. The rest of us, the majority, frankly, who are trying to get at least a legitimate consideration process where the real issues are addressed, where you don't have time at the city council being cut back to 2 minutes and time for groups being cut back to 1 minute or no time at all. At the last meeting, they provided zero time for groups, even though groups asked for time. A completely unprecedented policy on and public ordinance hearings, as far as I've heard. Groups get 5 minutes, individuals get 3 minutes. But these folks were so content on ramming this stuff through that they didn't want to allow that. And Crone, to his discredit, didn't propose it either. He started out by saying he was going to give 3 minutes to everybody, and then he let himself be maneuvered into giving less time, 2 minutes to everybody. So all the people who were in favor of it, or almost every one of them, got to speak for 3 minutes, and then there was an equal number of people on the other side who spoke for 3 minutes, but the rest of the people who normally would be accepted on a first-come, first-served basis, but instead we have this unusual one-pro, one-con speaker, which, of course, puts the pro speakers to the head of the line because there are so few of them. We had all the rest of the people speaking against these ordinances only getting 2 minutes each. And it was pointed out that lots and lots of time, lots and lots of public testimony came in by Ed Porter, but it wasn't pointed out that this was all rushed and jammed into small periods, into a very short period of time in terms of the actual process, and also that the discussion or the amount of public input, there was a lot of public input because the public was outraged that this was happening so quickly and the nature of what was going on, that the lack of relationship between the ordinances as they were written and the problems that the ordinances were supposed to be addressing. So what you heard from Ed Porter, I reviewed that tape a day or two ago when he was saying about how many, I don't know, dozens of it wasn't dozens of hours. There was, I think, well, maybe there was 15 or 20 hours. There was probably about 5 or 6 hours of public testimony, maybe a little more, 10 or 12 if you count the committee meetings, where they sat there and just sort of ignored what the public said because there was no, as I said, no changes in any of the ordinances as a consequence of any of the public testimony. Although down the road in September, they've proposed to make some minor modifications, and one ordinance, the leaning ordinance, was put on hold, not because of the public testimony, but because one, out of respect for Councilmember Fitzmaurice. And that's a whole other story, too. Fitzmaurice's objection to the leaning ordinance was that it had a peculiar warning process whereby a host or another public officer could warn someone, and then the police could ticket them. And how could that be? Because, you know, how can you tell when a person is leaning and when they're standing? And what about that ordinance warning thing? And the strange thing is that the same warning that Fitzmaurice is objected to in the leaning ordinance, he voted for at the non-commercial display ordinance, which said you can't have a table 14 feet from a building, 14 feet from a fence, 14 feet from a crosswalk, 14 feet from a street corner, 14 feet from a kiosk, 14, and so forth and so on. But you have to warn them first. But he didn't object to that warning, and the wording was identical. So I was trying to puzzle this out, and those of us, Becky Johnson and I, were writing an article about this for Street Spirit, which is going to appear probably in about a week in the August Street Spirit, and you can also get a copy of it by giving a call to Huff at 423-HUFF. But we couldn't figure out what Fitzmaurice was talking about. We finally, I guess Becky Johnson suggested that he was just saying something because he couldn't address any other substantive issues, because he had to look like he was saying something. He had to be, you know, preoccupied with some details. So he went on and on about this warning, but had no objection to the warning, identical warning for a similar ordinance, which he passed without any kind of comment. It's amazing the debased quality and the lack of debate that we had in this whole downtown ordinance discussion. And to me, it just shows that the ordinances are not really discussable in any kind of fair and open forum, that there is no real basis, that they fall apart under reasonable examination, and therefore the city council won't allow reasonable examination. They'll rush the process, and then they'll cut back public comment time as they rush the process. And when lots of people show up angry, they'll say, see, lots of people showed up, therefore there was a public process. I mean, it's turned against you. The issue is distorted no matter how you look at it.
It's about 3:10 in front of Jackson's Shoes on Sunday, July 21st. I'm at the table, and it's a sunny Sunday. It's been foggy, and the sun is coming out. Some folks eating double ice creams. Got John and Randy Sue and Sean and man with the guitar. Becky's here with the video here somewhere. I'll have to get a videotape. And we're petitioning. The tape recorder that disappeared on Friday is still missing, but I'm hopeful. It's about 20 to 4. We're talking with Randy Sue Winchell. Randy, the former flower lady of Pacific Avenue, driven off Pacific Avenue. And you actually have been keeping an eye on the host. One of the elderly hosts walked by, and what happened?
He walked up to a group of musicians that were playing music in front of the Palomar at two benches and asked them to stop playing and move somewhere else because elderly people live in the Palomar and they may want quiet. He didn't say there were any complaints, anything like that.